Amos chapter 3, verse 3. When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. We're told in Amos 3, 3. We'll start in verse 1, actually. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, you children of Israel, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And then he makes this statement. This is what we want to look at in regards to us looking at contemporary Christian music, the worldliness of it, and how it's ecumenical. He says, this can two walk together except they be agreed. Can two walk together except they be agreed. And his judgment's about to come on them. And he's warning them. He says, I'm going to punish you for all your iniquities. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Every time I read this, I think of a three-legged race. Anybody ever done a three-legged race? So what's a three-legged race? It's where you get two people and you tie one of your legs together to each other. And then you try and move. If you're not in total agreement, that's a mess. It's funny to watch. Because people are falling all over the place. Because one person will move this leg. The other person moves the leg that's tied. So that person tries to move and this leg doesn't move. So they're trying to go and this person's stuck there falling. It's funny to watch. But they're getting nowhere. Why? Because can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the answer is obvious. We say, no, they can't. You can't do that. What's God saying? What's the application he's making? Is that you're not in agreement with me. You got all this sin going on. And that's a perfect picture of contemporary Christian music. It's not in agreement with the Word of God. It fits and it's in line with the world. And God's saying, can two walk together except they be agreed? How are we going to meld these two things together? CCM is ecumenical at heart. So it's trying to meld itself with the world, but also on top of that, it's trying to bring all these different belief systems together under one banner, if you will. And let's set aside doctrine. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, let's set this aside and let's just walk in agreement. We need to be in unity and love. Well, you're not loving if you're not walking in agreement with us. Maybe I love God more than I love your false doctrine. They don't ever look at it like that. But we can't walk together if we're not agreed. That's why we won't be part of ecumenical evangelism or anything like that in this church. Because two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Let's go ahead and pray if we would. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us and giving us wisdom and understanding. We pray that you do that now. Use this message to be a blessing to people and a help to them, to help them to grow, Lord, and to help them beware of the pitfalls, the dangers, the snares found in contemporary Christian music. And some people might scoff at that and think that's ridiculous. It's Christian. They love God. But Lord, it's so eat up with evil, with rejection of your word, complete compromise, compromise with sin, compromise with the world, God. Help us to see that. Please teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The philosophy of CCM represents a hatred of the biblical doctrine of separation. Again, we've been looking in Nehemiah, and why are they building the walls? To separate themselves from what's dangerous. That's why they're putting the walls up. And the CCM crowd hates the biblical doctrine of separation. They'll mock you for it, they'll make fun of you for it, because they despise it. Kathy Tricoli has been nominated 5 times as the Gospel Music Association Female Vocalist of the Year. Here's what she said. This is from CCM Magazine, June of 1997. She said, our dogma and legalism strangle the love of Christ right out of us. And that can sound good, except what she's talking about, the love of Christ means acceptance of sin. Legalism, speaking of Bible standards, just building a wall of separation based on what the Bible teaches, and that's what they're calling it. They're saying our dogma and legalism strangle the love of Christ right out of us. So to them, what the love of Christ represents is me just accepting all the sin in your life and saying it's okay and there's nothing wrong with it. That's what she's speaking of. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:13, Let's go ahead and turn there, if you would, 2 Timothy 1:13. Remember this from Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? So can we walk with them when these are the stands that they take? And we're going to look at some of them. I told you this morning, the Lord's been giving me some things as I've been studying for this. But He's been showing me some things that have happened just recently that'll make us think, well, can we walk together? Are we in agreement with them? So 2 Timothy 1:13, if you would. Paul tells young Timothy, a preacher, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. That means hold fast, stick, don't move, don't be swayed, hold fast, hold strong. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. What did he say? In faith and love? Wait a minute. We hold fast to the Word of God because of love? Because love compels me to hold fast to the Word of God. Why? Because I ought to obey God rather than men. That's the reason why. If ye love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. That's the type of love that we need, not the love that the world says, which is acceptance of everything is okay. When God condemns it and God says it's sin, we can't accept it. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, if you would go ahead and turn there, since we're close to it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a command. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Under His authority. It's in His name I'm telling you this. Like He were here telling you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves. Get this, from every brother. Every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Why would Paul tell him that? From a brother. What? You're saying withdraw from a brother in Christ? That's what he said right there. If he's walking disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us, why would you withdraw from a brother in Christ who's walking disorderly? Because it goes with what I said this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Nobody in here is strong enough to oppose false teaching forever. No one is. That's why God says separate from it. You get into Revelation, I think I want to say it's 18 or 19. I think it's Revelation chapter 18. He's talking about Babylon. He says, come out of her, my people. Get out of that. You're not going to reform that. You're not going to fix that. Get out of it. Help them from the outside. Reach them from the outside. Don't partake of it. That's what God's saying. Get out of it. Withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. They will draw you down. They will draw you over to their position. And there's been too many examples of it happening. By somebody saying, oh, I'm strong enough. I can handle it. And again, that's pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a great fall. And they went down. And God knows what He's talking about when He tells us and gives us these warnings. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, contend for the faith. Stand for it. Hold fast the form of sound words is what He's telling us. Stand fast. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It means don't accept their false doctrine and say, oh, that's okay, we'll just push that under the rug. That's not what the Bible says. God said, hey, hold fast, stand for the Word of God. Will we do that? It's hard when it's a friend. It's hard when it's family that you have to stand against. But God said, hold fast, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. That means with a sense of eagerness. I want to do this. I'm happy to stand for the Lord. And I'm going to contend. I'm going to fight if I have to. And again, not physical fighting. Spiritual battle. Contend for the faith once delivered. It doesn't say for one of the many faiths once delivered to the saints. It says for the faith. So what does it mean? We need to know the faith then. We need to know the truth. Again, 2 Timothy 1:3, hold fast the form of sound words. Well, we need to know what those sound words are. That means we need to know the Word of God. If a brother walks disorderly, disorderly according to what? How do we know if it's disorderly? Well, we got it right here. We know this book. We're studying this book. We're learning this book. I know a ton of people that know more about a sports team or some sports star than they do the Bible. That's a shame right there. They'll fill their mind with that, but they won't fill their mind with this. And they say, I'm a Christian. And they may very well be. But that's called idolatry. When you can spout off stats over some sports figure, but you can't quote any Bible, where is your heart at? Where is your heart at? Kathy Tricoli's 1997 album, Love One Another, has an ecumenical theme. CCM Magazine at June 97 said this, Christians from all denominations demonstrating their common love for Christ and each other. Demonstrating their common love for Christ and each other. And you read that and you think, that sounds good. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Demonstrate our love for, our common love for Christ and each other? Yeah, I'll do that with anybody. If they're willing to get in line with sound doctrine. See, that's pretty, you know, people might see it as being full of pride to say something like that. I'm just going to hold fast the form of sound words. I'm going to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. So if you want to fellowship with me or with this church as I lead it, then get in line with the Word of God and we'll be okay. But if not, it's not me separating from you necessarily. You made your decision to go and depart from the Word of God. There's enough apostasy. The Bible warns of the last days. There's going to be a falling away. So why are we going to take part in it? Why are we going to step foot in the direction away from God, away from the form of sound words, away from sound doctrine? Why would we follow that when we know that's what God says is going to happen in the last days? So let me take part of it. Okay, this sounds great. Yeah, let's go away from what God said to do. Let's do the opposite of what God said. Or maybe we earnestly contend for the faith. The recording of the title song for this album, Love One Another, involved 40 CCM artists. Okay, I'm just going to read off some of the more familiar ones. Amy Grant, Gary Chapman, Sandy Patty, Michael W. Smith, Carmen, Phillips Craig and Dean, Jackie Velasquez, Phil Joel of the Newsboys, Kevin Smith of DC Talk, Ty Anderson of Third Day and Audio Adrenaline. These are all the people that took part in that. Some of them, not all of them, but some of the 40 that took part in that. I said God had given me some things. One of the reasons we want to stay away from contemporary Christian music is because it's ecumenical. This is the apostasy that's come into. I've got a couple articles here. I mentioned this one this morning. This is the Pope and Hillsong. Will unite together 2016 in Washington, D.C. That's that conference I mentioned this morning, Together 2016. So it's the Pope and Hillsong. And it's not just Hillsong. They just picked Hillsong probably because they're one of the more popular CCM bands. It says, today it was announced that Pope Francis would deliver a video message to help unite Christians in the next great awakening at Together 2016. Joining in the Ecumenical Gathering, Together 2016, also known as the Reset Movement, bringing together different religions in an effort to erase the lines of doctrinal divisions. So who's gonna give then? If we're going to erase the lines of doctrinal divisions, who's going to give? See, the Pope says he's doing it to help unite Christians in the next great awakening. By the way, let me just say the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church had absolutely nothing to do with the first great awakening. Okay, nothing to do with any of it. Why? Because they don't teach salvation. They teach a false doctrine. The Roman Catholic Church was inspired, and the founder of that church is the devil. Okay, that's the founder of the Roman Catholic Church. But the Pope, I mean, and look what a nice picture, right? Doesn't he look like a nice guy? And he does. He looks like a nice guy. Just an old man. Looks friendly. He's got a great smile. And he's going to unite Christians in the next great awakening. It's an effort to erase the lines of doctrinal divisions. So who's going to give what they believe up? You think it's going to be the Catholic Church? No, they're not going to. You guys just come along with us. You forget what you believe. What, you're not loving? You're not being very much like Christ? Because they don't know their Bible. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's why God's people are destroyed. For a lack of knowledge, is what the Bible says. Because we don't know the Word of God. So somebody comes along and says something, we don't know what to say, so we just go along with it. We're moved about with every wind of doctrine, just blows us. Oh, okay, because I don't know what I believe, so the wind's blowing this way, I guess I'm going this way. We get mad at politicians for that, you know, they stick their finger in the air. Oh, the political winds are blowing this way, I believe like this today. But Christians do it, and it's okay. Which way? Oh, gay marriage is okay, all right. Okay, I'm coming over here. The wind's blowing this way. I'm okay with it now. There's nothing wrong with it. God changed. For you know, 6,000 years of human history, we've been wrong. Nick Hall, the founder of Pulse, a prayer and evangelism movement to empower the church, okay, a universal church, and awaken the culture to Jesus, says adding the Pope to the lineup is the best news yet. You see how false doctrine can invade and mess up all this stuff? Because they believe in the universal church, so it's just we're all the church. So why don't we all just get along? That's what false doctrine leads to, apostasy. He said, we are humbled and honored by his involvement and are eager to share his message with the crowd that gathers at Together 2016. So what are they saying? They're saying that, hey, the Roman Catholicism is Christianity, and all these other groups are Christianity, even though they teach another gospel, a false gospel, which the Bible says is accursed of God. It's accursed of God, Galatians 1, 8 and 9. He said in a statement, reacting to the announcement that the Pope had added his name to the list of speakers, that, get this, His Holiness would choose to speak into this historic day as a testament to the urgency and the need for followers of Jesus to unite in prayer for our nation and our world. Said that His Holiness, called the Pope His Holiness. His Holiness. You know, he's supposed to be the vicar of Christ. That means he's standing in Christ's stead here on earth. That's who the Pope claims to be. He's, I'm Christ on earth. That's what he believes. That's what the Roman Catholic doctrine is. Hall is the college pastor who came up with the idea of uniting pastors and Christian leaders from all denominational backgrounds to join 1 million people at the free event in hopes of inspiring true revival in America. I mean, just so you know, this is another article talking about the same event here. Ronnie Floyd, Lecrae, Hillsong unite with the Pope at Monumental Together 2016 gathering. Ronnie Floyd, by the way, is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he's all right with this. Apostasy. Apostasy. There was a time when the Southern Baptists never would have stood for any of this. It's sad. As has been thoroughly elsewhere, the Together 2016 is hosting many theologically questionable people whom are widely popular with evangelicals. This rogues gallery includes Hillsong United, Christine Kane, Kari Job, Kirk Franklin, the rapper who happens to be Christian, Lecrae, SBC President Ronnie Floyd, Josh McDowell, Tadashi Tripp, Lee, God's Lover, Ann Voskamp, Matthew West, and Roman Catholic musician Matt Marr. It has to the attention of the Pope and penned that Matt Marr won't be the only Roman Catholic featured at this event. Pope Francis has added himself to the lineup, stating that he will speak to the audience via video. Founder of Pulse, Nick Hall, who helped organize the event, said, we're humbled and honored, and I already read you that quote. Many of the people in the lineup have already demonstrated a lack of Christian common sense. For example, Kirk Franklin helped write a profane gospel album with Kanye West, and Ravi Zacharias gave an evangelically weak lecture at the Mormon Tabernacle. CCM's all over this. They're putting their stamp of approval on Roman Catholicism. CCM is intimately linked with the Roman Catholic Church. It's accepting of Roman Catholicism, and the songs promote an ecumenical theme. Here, just some more news from the evangelical world of CCM. This is dated May 31st, 2016. Christian rock star comes out as gay. Here's the letter he wrote to the world. He's the lead singer to Everyday Sunday. 35 years old. Comes out as gay. He's a Christian. But he's gay. me read you some of this here. His name is Trey Pearson. Since 2001, Trey Pearson's Everyday Sunday has sold around 250,000 albums, and his 2009 album made its way onto the coveted Billboard 200 chart. He's toured in all 50 states, 20 countries, playing with top Christian musicians such as Toby Mac, Switchfoot, Mercy Me, Jeremy Camp, and others. You know, I believe it was Kirk Franklin said that everybody knows gospel music is infiltrated with the gay agenda. There's gays all over it, he said. That's a paraphrase there. Pearson said this, "I finally decided to come out because I couldn't keep trying to be something that I wasn't." Pearson's announced in no small story, "Since 2001, Everyday Sunday has sold around 250,000 albums. His song, Wake Up, Wake Up, was the most played Christian rock song of 2007, and his 2009 album, Best Night of Our Lives, broke onto the coveted Billboard 200 chart, which is just worldly music, so the world accepts him as well. Pearson has toured in all 50 states and 20 countries, playing with top Christian." I already read that to you. All right. 614 Magazine, an entertainment and culture magazine in Columbus, Ohio, will tell Pearson's story in a 12-page cover story for its June issue. His narrative will ring familiar to many who grew up in a religious community. Pearson was raised in a conservative Christian home where he was taught that sexual orientation was a matter of choice, which it is, by the way. It is. It's like saying, oh, I was born a drunk, I can't help it. I was born a murderer, I can't help it. But this is the sick, twisted world that we're living in, that born men saying, oh, I'm actually a woman. I identify as a woman. Well, so what? If I identify as a billionaire, does that mean I'm a billionaire? I mean, that's the idiocy that they're pushing, and people are falling for it. They're accepting it. They're believing it. So he says, hey, you know, I just... He believes it wasn't a matter of choice. He was born this way. He was taught it was a matter of choice, which is correct. Though he knew from an early age that he was attracted to other males, he attempted to suppress his feelings and be straight. See, this is what I mean when I said Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will deceive you. Hey, come on in, grab a seat. That's what your heart will do for you. It will lie to you and it will deceive you. Same thing with this man. He's going off his feelings rather than the Word of God. And we're in trouble when we go off our feelings rather than the Word of God. He said, I never wanted to be gay, he tells 614. I was scared of what God would think and what all of these people I loved would think about me, so it was never an option for me. As Pearson started accepting his sexual orientation, he sought guidance from other Christian leaders. The first person he told was Pastor Jonathan Martin, author of How to Survive a Shipwreck, who helped him connect with a counselor. His mentor and friend Rob Bell, which is a major heretic. He's in the emergent church movement. He's yoked up with Oprah Winfrey and all this New Age nonsense. Was one of the people that helped to counsel him. He helped him through this process, and he's all accepting of this stuff. This is not a saved man. Rob Bell is not a saved man. I don't remember or not if when I was preaching on the emergent church, if those are online or not, but if they are, look them up. Just look up emergent church. You should be able to type it in our website, and it should pull up the sermons. It's probably going to be some of the first ones I preach that we were recording. While Pearson says he will no longer live a lie, he is not abandoning his faith. The rocker says he still prays regularly. Well, so do Muslims. You know? What's that matter? And he reads the Bible. The devil reads the Bible. He even once memorized the entire epistle of James. Sounds like he's going after a work salvation or something. I don't know. His study of scriptures, he says, has led him to believe that the handful of Bible verses that directly address homosexuality do not prohibit the kind of loving, committed gay relationships known to the modern world. Because God didn't know what he was talking about when he destroyed two cities named Sodom and Gomorrah. God wasn't quite sure what he was doing. God changed his mind. I'm going to deal with this specifically here in another sermon, maybe more than one. But we need an answer because this is getting more and more popular in Christianity to say that accepting gays is the right thing to do. You think, what? You're against gays? Yes. Yes. I'm against drunkards. I'm against drug addicts. I'm against fornicators. I'm against adulterers, idolaters. Why? Because God's against them. That's why He came to die in our place. He doesn't understand the Bible. He's going after what his feelings say. He's following his feelings rather than what the Word of God says. He said, there is absolutely no conflict with accepting who I am and following Jesus, he said. He's right. There's no conflict. But he's following another Christ. He's not following the Christ of the Bible. That's idolatry. What's he done? He's made up a God in his head that fits his lifestyle rather than accepting the God of the Bible or surrendering to the God of the Bible and getting saved. I don't believe this is a saved man. So this is what I want. That's not the essence of repentance. Repentance is surrender. I give up. I'm not fighting you, God. He's not doing that. He said, I'm going after my own thing. I don't care what God says. This is what I am. This is what I feel. This is what I want. And that's what he's going after. Pearson's shift places him in the center of a growing movement of popular Christian musicians who are coming out as gay and are advocating for a more open and accepting posture in the church. Why? Because the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's me. This is what I want. This is what I feel is right. I don't care what the Bible says. They're lovers of their own selves. Ray Bolts, whose songs were staples in evangelical churches throughout the 90s, came out as gay in 2004. Grammy-nominated Anthony Williams became the first openly gay gospel artist in 2009. Jennifer Knapp, another Grammy-nominated Christian artist, acknowledged that she was a lesbian 1 year later. And in 2014, popular worship music artist Vicky Beeching told The Independent that she too was a lesbian. And then you got Clay Aiken from, what's that, American Idol? Just sounds like a wholesome show, doesn't it? American Idol, idolatry. He's supposed to be a Christian. He came out as gay too. Pearson accepts that his announcement could mark the end of his music career too, but he hopes it will signal a fresh start instead. He plans to continue making music and will release a new single later this year. He'll perform at Wild Goose, the Christian festival, in July and hopes to become a voice within the burgeoning gay Christian movement. What's that? That's just the apostasy that's in this world that's gotten stranglehold inside of churches. Why? Because we don't stand on sound doctrine, because we won't separate from it, because we won't build the walls up, because we want to cozy up with the world. That's why. That's why this is happening. So why can contemporary Christian music reach across the denominational divides? It's a threefold answer. First, as a rule, they're not doctrinally strong and clear. They're not doctrinally strong and clear, as we can see. I mean, he says, oh, the handful of Bible verses that talk on gay marriage or on gays, on the sodomite lifestyle, they don't mean what we've been told they mean. They're misinterpreting them. As a rule, they're not doctrinally strong and clear. They can sing of Jesus in such a watered-down way that it will be acceptable to a Catholic or a non-denominational type. If you've listened to them, listen to some of the songs. I know it's not going to be every single one of them, but the great majority of them are so generic that the world will accept them on the world's radio stations and they'll make the Billboard Top 200. Why? Because it's not speaking about Christ. It's not speaking about Him dying for their sins and needing their sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ because they're wicked and they stand opposed to the Word of God and opposed to God. It's not talking about that. That's why the world hates that. We talked about that this morning. The world hated me. It's going to hate you also when it killed Jesus. They'll sing in such generalities that you can make it fit your doctrine. Whatever you believe. Let me just say this. False teachers can always use our terms, but they redefine them. Like, for instance, this whole movement, the new evangelical movement, the CCM crowd, they'll use the term love. It's not the biblical meaning of love. Their word love, we both use the same word love, but they mean it to mean acceptance of any and all sin. That's what they mean it to be. So false teachers can always use our terms, but they redefine them. You start talking to a Jehovah's Witness, to a Mormon, to a Catholic, They're going to use a lot of the same terms. You better make sure. Listen, wait up, back up, slow down. Let's define that. What do you mean by that? Because they're not going to mean what the Bible means. CCM's even popular to the lost because it's the same rock music that they love. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to this world. Don't fit after the pattern of this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By getting in the Word of God. Letting the Word of God change your mind. Change your thinking so you're not inundated with the culture and what this world says is truth. But you have biblical truth. And if you stand on the Bible, that's going to make you go upstream and stand against the ways of this world. You won't fit with this world if you line up with the Bible. CCM represents the philosophy of positivism and judge not. What do I mean? Everything's positive. Don't ever mention anything negative. Don't you dare call anyone out and say that they're wrong or anything like that. You can't name names and say that someone's wrong, even though Paul did it all the time in all his letters. He was constantly doing it. Saying, watch out for this guy. The biblical examples of it. But they're positive and judge not. They don't defend the faith once delivered to the saints. They accept any and all false doctrine and want to warp their doctrine to fit that. They may defend parts of the faith, but we're told to defend the whole thing. It used to be there was no way anyone's going to defend gay marriage. Not one Christian would defend gay marriage. That's not true anymore. Why? Why has so-called Christendom folded even on that? Because they folded over here in some other area that people didn't think was important. Again, they're building the wall around the city. They say, oh, you don't have to worry about that little section over there. Nobody sees that section. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Let's focus on this. This is where the battle will rage. Just focus on this area right here. And yeah, we need to do that. But they're going to say, don't make a big deal about that. That's just a small, you know, little crack in the wall. Don't worry about that. Let some people sneak in. Now they're inside. Because we didn't think it was a big deal. How dare you preach against rock music? How dare you do that? They love Jesus. They sing about Christ. How dare you say that that's wrong? And yet here we have this whole movement. Now you got so many churches accepting gay marriage. So many so-called Christians accepting of it. When even just 15 years ago, it was no way. No way. Think back 30 years ago. Absolutely not. There's no way we're going to accept it then. So how do we change our whole mindset? Because churches wanted to rub shoulders with the world. Say, come on. Let's go hold hand in hand. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Nope, they can't. But you got CCMs walking with the world. So what must they be? Agreed. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you unto myself. Come out from them. Well, let's walk with God's people. That's what I want to do. I want to walk according to the Word of God. That's where I want to be, is in step with the Word of God. Again, Jude 3, exhort that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. They reject the parts of the Bible that deal with separation from the things of the world. Just listen to, I mean, don't, but if you happen to listen to, or if you remember ever listening to just some of these new evangelicals or those that promote CCM, listen to them. They never get specific about sin. They will never get specific about it. They will never tell you, stay away from this thing right here. They'll be general. It'll be just in general terms. They'll never say, hey, don't go watch this movie. They will never say something like that. Don't listen to rock music. They will never say that. Never will they do that. They're not going to warn you about all the witchcraft and evil and the sexual innuendo that's coming out of the Disney movies. They're not going to warn you about that. They were teaching our children, showing and putting before our children. We have to watch those things, guard those things. But they will never say something like that. Never. They're going to be general. I'll just stay away from witchcraft, but let's not ever say what it is. And, well, if it's in the form of Narnia, it's okay. You know, if it's in the form of the Lord of the Rings, it's okay. When is witchcraft okay? Can anyone prove to me from the Bible when it's okay? Can anyone show me in the Bible that there's white magic and black magic and white magic's okay? If you can, I'll be like, okay, you're right. I will admit, I'll stand before our church on Sunday morning and I'll say, you're right, I was wrong. Can you show me that? And we think, oh, what's the big deal with witchcraft? I'm not like out, you know, sacrificing children yet. You think, what? No way would I do that. Yeah, but people that have sacrificed children didn't ever think they'd do that either. Maybe you've heard the saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. It absolutely will. It absolutely will. You think, I got to hold on this thing. It won't do that to me. I got to hold on it. Man, you're deceiving yourself. You're lying to yourself if you think that's what's going to happen. If you think you can get a hold on sin and you can control it, you're already lost. That thing's already got you in its grips. They don't define sin specifically, but rather refer to it as some big black cloud to stay away from. And seriously, that's what they do. They'll be like, we separate from the world. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. We don't want to be like the world. Hey, let's hear another rock song real quick before I finish preaching this message. They're not going to define what the world is. That'll condemn their lifestyle. And you think I get up here and I preach everything that I preach, you think I got it all straightened out in my life? You think the preaching I do hasn't been ripping me apart all week while I've been studying for it sometimes? Yeah, it has. Yeah, it has. That one preacher taught me. He said, you have to preach above where you're at. If you don't preach above where you're at, there's a lot you're not going to preach on. What did he mean by that? Just because you haven't figured it out yet, you still have to preach against it. See, doesn't that make you a hypocrite? No, it makes me a sinner that needs to get right with God. And I should get right with God. That's what I should do. I don't have it all figured out. We got to preach above where we're at. But we just stay away from that big black cloud. Let's not ever define what the world is. We can't say that the world is specifically this, this, or this, because, hey, we might offend somebody and they might not come back to church. And that's honestly what it comes down to many times, is we don't want to offend somebody because they won't ever come back. And we got to try and build this big church so that we can be a name out there. And we can reach people for Christ. So let's not define sin. Now, they don't say all that, but that's what's happening. Don't define the world. People don't like that. They refuse to apply the scriptures to our lives today. And just by being nonspecific, being general. And let me just say, part of this is because they've rejected that we have a perfect Bible today and they really have no authority to stand on. Well, how do I know where to stand? I mean, can I trust this when there's mistakes in it? In their Bibles, yeah, there's mistakes. There's contradictions, but not in this one. Not in this King James Bible. The philosophy of the CCM world is ecumenical. It's 100% ecumenical. It's walking hand in hand with the world. And it always has. That's its foundation. Its foundation is to walk in lockstep with the ungodly world. Can two walk together except they be agreed? See, you know, when you come to salvation, you have to come into agreement with the Lord that you're the wicked, filthy sinner that God says you are. You have to come to the point where you believe that, where you accept that. Anybody that's saved, that's going to heaven, has come to that point where they realize, I am exactly what God says I am. I am the enemy of God because I've broken His commands, because I've lied, I've stolen, I've cheated, I've looked with lust, I've hated somebody, which God says is murder. The Bible says no thief shall inherit the kingdom of God. Every liar is going to the lake of fire. You've told one lie, you're going to the lake of fire, God says. So I don't believe that. That's not the God I serve. Then you don't serve the God of the Bible. You serve an idol and you're an idolater. God said, if you're a liar, you're going to the lake of fire. So for anyone to be saved, they had to come to that point. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I had to come in complete agreement with God that I'm exactly what He says I am. I'm a wicked, rotten sinner, and when I die and stand before Him, He's going to send me straight to hell because that's what I deserve. And we bow our heart, and we bow our knees to Him, and we say, God, I don't want the judgment I deserve. Lord, forgive me. God, save me. That's why Jesus Christ came, because He loved us. He died on that cross to forgive our sins, to wash every single one of our sins away. That if we just bow our hearts and knees to Him, turn to Him in repentance and faith, asking Him to be our Savior, He said, I'll forgive every one of your sins and I'll give you my righteousness. Even though everything you've done, the best it can be, is filthy rags to me, He said, I'll give you my righteousness. I'll put my sinlessness on top of you and I'll forgive every one of your sins. Oh, that's a sweet promise right there. I like that one right there. That's good stuff right there. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how filthy you are, how wicked you are. God says, I loved you and I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'll give you a home in heaven and I'll come back for you one day. And I'm going to build you a mansion up there and you can be with me for eternity because He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But we have to receive that gift. Have you received that gift? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Jesus said, you must be born again. If not, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's exactly what you deserve. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That works for salvation and our life after salvation, how we follow the Lord.